Jackson. Off the glass. August. No. Tip. Yes!
1.5 seconds. Don't let them get a running start. We've seen that already in this tournament.
It was the defensive specialist, Pfluger, who got it. Off the buzzer. Notre Dame wins it.
Ah, can you imagine being Digger this weekend, watching all that wild first weekend of hoops? Crazy. The great Digger Phelps joins us now. Where were you? Were you just watching at home?
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Yeah.
Flipping channels, watching them all, but staying with the Irish since I was the only game on at that time yesterday. But it was an amazing last 2 minutes to take a 6-0 run when you're down five. And, boy, we saw a lot of that over the weekend. I mean, the Irish, obviously, very happy to be back in a Sweet 16. And they'll have a tough game against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's one of those teams that we saw what Koenig did in that last shot. How about that? I mean, we talk about the Notre Dame win, but to make that three at the buzzer, that was incredible. That goes back to when Christian Laettner did that for Duke back when.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I just think the game everybody's talking about is Northern Iowa.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I couldn't believe they're up 12 with 44 seconds.
Ever see anything like that?
Not like that. I know we were down 11 with 3:22 against UCLA to end that 88 game winning streak,
right,
shutting them out 12-0. But we had 3 minutes and 22 seconds to do it. But in 44 seconds, you know, this gets into where I want the fans to know and understand three things. One, your press offense, full court press offense, when a team's coming after you, you should run your offense between the circle of the free throw line and the half court circle. Why? So that you don't get trapped in the corner.
Right.
That's the first thing. I don't understand why that still goes on. When you see guys start on the free throw line, they break up, they force you in the corner, and they trap. You can't get out because the sideline and the end line are part of that four-man trap, so to speak.
Right.
The other thing is, I don't understand why teams, when you're going for that last shot, and there's like 20 seconds to go, and you'll see them dribble, 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 dribble. Now there's 8, 7. Now they go, and they end up with nothing. Well, to me, we always win at 12 seconds because if we got a play messed up, a bad dribble, a bad pass, we still got the control, a bad screen. Now we still get that shot off at 5, 4 seconds. We send five guys to the glass to get an offensive rebound on a missed shot. And that drives me nuts when you see that happening. And I would say the third thing is this. When you look at time and score, you do that in practice situations. You go over all these things. And we used to do that the last, say, 10 minutes of practice. I remember 1 year we go up to Syracuse.
Right.
And we're down two. And we got the ball out of bounds full court. But I need 3 seconds to run this play. And the official score had 4 on the clock. I mean, it had 2 on the clock. So I yell at him and the referee, we should get 4 because I know then they'll give me 3. Well, we ran the play. So LaFonso Ellis gets the pass. We throw a full court break. 3 guys from half court up towards the ball so they front us. They turn and break for the basket. Fonz throws the ball to Albert Bennett. He hits a 3. The horn goes off in the air. Okay? We win the game. And those are situations you have to practice. So that, to me, was amazing to see how that game turned out.
Well, but that's the thing. And what you're talking about with Northern Iowa, and, you know, I mentioned this to Dave Ennett earlier today because Coach K brought it up. He goes, you get a lot of 18-year-olds on the court, and I don't know what the makeup of Northern Iowa is, but you get a lot of 18-year-olds on the court, and he goes, some kids get lost at the circus.
Yeah.
You know, bright lights, big city. But everything you just described comes down to coaching, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is this. You may be 18 when you start as a freshman, but I've always said this. After 20 games, you're no longer a freshman. You have a season under your belt.
That's a great point.
And that's where, to me, when I look at even Calipari, when he has those guys, when he had Anthony Davis as a freshman, those guys, they win a national championship. But it still isn't over yet. And this is what's interesting to me. When you look at guards the last 5 years, with the 4 of those 5 national champions, go back to Kemba Walker in Connecticut. They had to win the Big East tournament, which was 5 straight wins. Then they won 6 straight to win a national title. Then it was Anthony Davis in Kentucky. Then the next year, it was Peyton Siva and Louisville. The next year, go back to it's Shabazz Napier and UConn. Last year, it was Tyus Jones and the other freshman that came off the bench, Grayson Allen, and they won a national championship. So when we're looking at teams this year, who is it and what is it? Listen, I love Kansas. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Kansas, to me, with Joe Kim Noah, when he was at Florida, they went back-to-back national championships his junior and senior year. And he's one of those leaders on the floor that makes the other guys play better. Well, Kansas with Perry Ellis. I'm watching Perry Ellis inside. I watch him getting rebounds. I watch him getting loose balls. Then I watch him shoot a three. Well, Perry Ellis is to Kansas what Joe Kim Noah was to Florida. They are legit. But when I look at them, if they get into a matchup, I'll tell you, Miami and Villanova is going to be interesting. Because Miami has the guards we're talking about. When you look at Angel Rodriguez and McCollum, they can combine for 50 points, which they did the other day. They had 46. And they will give Villanova fits to make that game with Villanova being a two seed. That's going to be an interesting basketball game because Villanova's good. But don't forget, Xavier beat Villanova at one point a year. But Villanova just blew out Iowa. There's where one guards are going to be. Go back to Duke playing Oregon. Grayson Allen is back. You notice how Plumlee was when he broke his nose the next game that he played. He had that face mask. Well, then the next game, which was the NCAA tournament, he was wearing these glasses. By halftime, he took them off, and in the second half, he had 10 points. Well, he's back, and he's one of those guys that can just dominate inside. But Grayson Allen is back. He has that experience. But Oklahoma, to me, when you look at that region in the West, Buddy Hield, 36 points yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Against VCU, he's amazing, and he's a great guard that can score. The most disappointing team that I had to win a national title, first game, first round, they lose to Middle Tennessee. I had Michigan State beating Kansas in the championship game, so that's how good I am. But they just couldn't get it done. You know, that's where it was. But in the East, Notre Dame's going to have a tough game against Wisconsin because Wisconsin is a real, real good basketball team. But if the Irish get in there, they got to play the winner of North Carolina, Indiana. Indiana beat the Irish pretty bad back in early season, but they're a different team today. But Carolina, and here's the difference in what Roy Williams did. Notre Dame beat Carolina here February 6th. When they played them in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, they lost by 31. Why? A guard, Joel Berry II. He has taken the pressure off Marcus Page. He plays both of them, Roy does. But Page is a floater now where he can shoot his three. Joe Berry II runs that team for Carolina, and Hicks comes off the bench. This is a very solid North Carolina team. So these are some of the things you should look for as this weekend comes on, is to see which teams out of these four regions are going to end up in the Final Four.
I mean, I got to tell you, Dave, I wish Digger was still passionate about it. You know what I mean? I mean, he's just, you know, he's lost a fire.
Digger, I've got to ask you, though, and you alluded to it, because I had Michigan State, too, and I watched them all year.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you explain, you know, it's 15-2 Middle Tennessee, and you're, okay, Tom takes a timeout, and you think, okay, timeout, they're going to come out, a 10-0 run, they'll take control, and they won't look back, and it never happened.
Well, the other reason why it didn't happen, Denzel Valentine, they took him out of the game. So credit their defense for doing that also. I mean, yeah, they jumped out 15-2 because they made, I think, three or four threes in that run. And they were making threes the whole game. But Denzel Valentine was not the guy that goes out and gets 30 points, 15 assists, and 8 rebounds. He didn't have that type of game. And when you look at everybody else with Costello, who's had a great season inside, Forbes, who hit 7 threes against Rutgers, you got to credit Middle Tennessee. They were ready for that game. Michigan State wasn't. And they jumped out 15-2, and Michigan State never got back in it.
You coach kids even at the level you coached at for all those years. The very small minority of them ever make it to the big dance, the biggest dance, to make it to the NBA. You got kids all the time that get their heart broken in this tournament and go on. How big a deal is it for a coach to take a kid aside that blows it at the end of the game and go, this isn't the rest of your life, man. You'll remember it for the rest of your life, but you got to remember the good times. Is that important stuff?
Well, I'll tell you what I used to do with my players. And you got one of them in Chicago named John Paxson.
Yeah.
Here's what we used to teach. Leadership. And leadership is this. Find me a guy that's creative, that can be a risk taker, that has the right street smarts, and knows how to be a survivor. That is leadership. You go through experiences in life. I had a guy that played with Pax named Mike Mitchell, who was some Cappuccino High School in San Bruno near San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He played when we got to the regional championship and we lost to Magic Johnson in 79. And he played well in that tournament as a freshman. Sophomore year, tears up his knee. Junior year, tears up the other side, the same knee. make him captain the senior year with John Paxson. We beat San Francisco here. They were top 10. It was after we beat when they had Cartwright and those guys when they were 29-0. But this was after. He's the only guy in 20 years I gave a game ball to. Why? Because of the things I said. He ends up becoming president of Nestle's USA Beverage.
About that.
So what I'm thinking, and what I'm thinking is, all these guys, when you look at them, you go through life's experiences. And sports, to me, is the greatest teacher for people to go on in their careers, men and women. And if they got those characteristics of leadership, being creative, being a risk taker, having the right street smarts and knowing how to be the survivor, I'll show you leadership. And that's what these experiences do for you down the road.
How good is Indiana? You mentioned them. How good are they and how far can they go?
Well, I'll tell you, I was shocked when they lost to Michigan in Indianapolis in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan stole that game. It was a war all the way at the end. They got it done. But I feel this way now. You get that experience of a loss and you move forward. Don't forget, a year ago, Duke lost to Notre Dame in the ACC tournament. Coach K had that team ready when they went on to win that national championship. I feel right now, the rivalry of Kentucky and Indiana, I mean, to have that rematch, it's amazing how the committee came up with this. Was that just a blind draw?
Right.
I mean, some of these matchups and all that, give me a break. But anyhow, they got that behind them. They know what's in front with North Carolina, and they respect Carolina. And don't forget, back when, early in the year, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, they got beat up pretty bad at Duke. So this is a different, again, Indiana team, like we're seeing a lot of teams being different this time of the year, like even North Carolina. I feel Tom Crean's done a great job with Yogi Ferrell and that team. They've come together. They're playing well. And, of course, beating Kentucky was, you know, let's get it done. They took care of business against Chattanooga. They will have a challenge against Carolina, but it's like this. When you play these games, you're coaching every four-minute clip. It's the first, how do we start the game? We got to come out and be aggressive. We got to control the boards. You control the boards, you control the game. Because the boards give you defensive rebounds to get fast breaks, give you second chance points if you got four going to the glass, no less than three. But sometimes I used to send four to the glass to get second chance points.
Well, as you go into this final weekend, you talked about Notre Dame, or the second to final weekend, you talked about Notre Dame, Wisconsin. You got a few spoilers here and there. Villanova never gets this far. They're there. Nobody would be surprised if Kansas gets it done. I don't think people would be surprised if North Carolina gets it done. But who's your real sleeper?
You know what's been amazing? No one's talking about Syracuse right now.
Yeah, how about it?
They get in. They're a 10 seed. Okay. They take care of business. And here they are. Getting ready to play Gonzaga. Gonzaga's a very good-sized team inside, but Syracuse's 2-3 zone will surround that. And when I look at Cooney, you talk about a money player. We talk about what goes on with Angel Rodriguez at Miami of Florida. Well, Cooney's the guy for them that makes as good as Robinson is and all those other guys. And for Syracuse, to me, Cooney's a clutch player. That zone's going to bother Gonzaga because they don't have the shooting guards like they used to have. So it's going to be interesting to see if Syracuse ends up. But understand this. This Iowa State-Virginia matchup is going to be interesting with Buddy Hield. And, of course, when I look at Virginia, they're so balanced. They're going to want to play this game in the 60s. And Iowa State's going to want to play in the 80s. So it's going to be one of those games where which team controls Temple? Half-court defense, half-court offense. So that's what that's going to be. But Syracuse, to see them now back in the Sweet 16, and back when they had that losing streak when Boeheim was out, to show you what a season is, and then they're like maybe a bubble team getting in. Well, here they are in the Sweet 16, and that's, again, Jim Boeheim, coaching experience, being the Final Four, like Coach K at Duke being the Final Four, and Bill Self at Kansas being the Final Four, and Roy Williams being there and winning championships, too, from when he was a coach at Kansas getting to the Final Four and North Carolina getting to the Final Four and winning it.
You going to come watch a little baseball this summer?
Oh, yeah. I'll be up there. Don't forget now. Listen, God bless Harry Carey and Ernie Banks.
Yeah.
I have sung every year since Harry Carey died. And when I did this past summer in August, I went out in the field throughout the first pitch, but I did a 360 going out to the mound because I wore Ernie Banks' jersey and number 14.
Yeah, the best.
So when you get up to sing, all right, Cubs fans, are you ready? Are you really ready? Let's not just do this for Harry today. Let's also do it for Ernie Banks. 41,001 crazy. So, yeah, I plan to be up there, and I plan to be back to keep my tradition going. I guess now I'm the only one left.
Down the street? I think that's right.
Every year.
I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right.
Ron Santo used to do it. Bernie's done it a lot, Bernie Williams. But Ernie did it every year as a Cub, and I'm the only non-Cub now. I'm the only one to carry that tradition on for the Cubs. So Joe Madden, here's a quickie. Joe Madden was from Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
In 1965-66, I coached St. Gabriel's High School to a state championship in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Some 11-year-old kid used to watch us play. His name was Joe Madden.
Is that right?
Really?
Fact.
That's a great story.
So we'll see what the Cubs
have. You guys talked about that?
That's tremendous.
Actually, we called up, when I was up last year, I was in a dugout before the game. We called up Father Ray DeVinny, who was the priest that hired me. He's like in his late 80s. And I had to put Joe on the phone with him. We talked about it.
That's tremendous. Beautiful. Hey, play your cards.
Funny story. Hey, with the press conference, when Joe got the call, remember they had it at Huggy Bear? Where was
Cubby
it?
Cubby Bear.
Cubby Bear, right?
Yep.
Okay. So here's what happens. At the end of the press conference, he says, give everyone a shooter on me. Mm-hmm. No one caught on why that happened. Let me tell you something. In Hazleton, Pennsylvania, every corner had a neighborhood bar.
Sure.
And it was back then it was a strip mine. The coal miners were strip miners on top going down. So, and I'm trying to get people to support us at St. Gabriel's. So I'd go in, and they couldn't afford a shot and a beer.
Sure.
So what they would do is for 15 cents, you got a Stegmeyer beer glass with a little shot glass of blackberry brandy. And that was the terminology back there. So when I'm watching that press conference, none of the media guys got it. I was the only guy that laughed. And I talked to him this summer about that, about him and that shooter being the blackberry brandy for the media at the bar at Cubby Bear.
Taking care of the miners. Taking care of it. I hope you play your cards right. He might let you see his van. All right, hold on, buddy. That's a great Digger Phelps. Again, if he just cared. If he just cared. You know what I mean, Dave?
Yeah, exactly.
If he just cared about the game.